Thank you, Mr. Ledbetter. Good morning, everyone. Come on now. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you. Thank you. Good job. Yes, I am from the area here. I live about 30 minutes down the road. I thought I'd let you know where Mr. Petty gets all of his inspiration for all of the bad examples that he references in his sermons. You're looking at him. It's also proof that God can speak through donkeys. Well, brethren, we are here celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles as the family of God. Are you aware of that? I hope so. In God's family, we have quite a name to live up to, don't we? This being Family Day, I thought I would talk about family. I'm going to talk about physical family, and I'm going to talk about the spiritual family. Let's turn to 1 John. 1 John, and I'll let my scripture changer know that we're going to be in the Bible in basic English. We do that on purpose because I'm a Texan, and I need basic English. 1 John 3 and verse 2. It says, "My loved ones, now we are children of God." We are children of God. Now let that get in your mind and work around a little bit. Can you believe that? The creator of this entire universe, all the way to the creator of that little squirrel that laid on the branch of the pecan tree on my back porch this morning and scratched his belly around, gave me a little chuckle. The creator of all things is calling you one of his children. And at present, it is not clear what we are to be. We have a little bit of an idea, but we cannot imagine what it's going to be like to be there when Christ returns, if we're still living at that time. To be there when we begin to help Christ establish God's government on this earth. We have no idea what that's going to be like. We have no idea what it's going to be like when the millennium starts. And we are all there. I say we're all there because that's the plan. We have no idea. We have an inkling. We have a foretaste. And that's why we're here today. We are certain that at His revelation, that day when Christ returns, we will be like Him. Man, blows my mind. We will be like Him. For we will see Him as He is. Now, do we see Him today? Well, we can see examples of what He did in His creation and the things that He's done. When we pay attention to those things and we pay attention to the awesome wonder that is our universe, we can see Him. When we see Him in His return, how awesome is that going to be? But why? Why has God asked you to be in New Braunfels, Texas this week? He's asked you to come here because you are His family. He's set His name in feast sites all around this earth. And He has asked us to be here to fellowship with one another as brothers and sisters. We are His family. So we're going to talk about family today. Today is Family Day. We're going to get an opportunity this afternoon to go out to Landa Park and just, as Mr. Foster said, sit at the table and talk. Visit with one another. Don't forget to ask those questions like, how were you called into this family? Share those stories. Mr. Petty told us we have most of our activities in the beginning so that as a group we can get together and get to know one another better and fellowship and share this time together. That is why God called us to be here. Now, as we look at the structure of God's family, how does that look? Well, we know it's God the Father and our older brother, Jesus Christ, is His Son and everybody else. That's His family. God is a kind of family. And you and I are here in the training ground today to become a part of His kind. to become a part of His family. Or some southern folks say, to be a part of His people. His folks. Now, I'm sorry if you can't understand me because I'm a Texan. The family of God is headed by Him, the Father. And it now consists of Him and His Son. And it now consists of you and I and all of those that had a piece of God's Spirit implanted in them just like we do. We are the begotten children. We are the conceived sons and daughters of God at this point. Waiting for that time when we will be born into His kingdom. We are here celebrating that time just before the final establishment of His kingdom in all the universe to celebrate the millennium that will be taking place on this earth. And we'll be under His government. We will be the teachers, the helpers of all of those people that will be remaining living into that time. And those that are born during that time, teaching them God's way continually. Satan will be bound and put away and no longer affecting us. You and I are the begotten family of God. Now I got a question for you. How are we doing with that? Yeah. I'm sure if you're like me, you think about all the things when you slipped up, you slid to the side a little bit. We're not doing so good sometimes, are we? In fact, we're a bit of a dysfunctional family at times. You know, as a child, when I was growing up, my father told me that I had a certain expectation to live up to a family name, the name of Dove. Yes, I'm related to Roy Dove, for those of you that were wondering. Usually I go up and introduce myself, I'm Jim Dove, and they say, oh, are you related to Roy Dove? That's the first question every time. So I say, hi, I'm Jim Dove, and yes, I am related to Roy Dove. But he used to teach us, and I come from a big family, five brothers and sisters. He used to tell us that we should never do anything to bring shame on the family name. First of all, if we did, he usually took care of that and showed us another way to go. But as far back as I can remember in my family, I never met my great-grandfather. I think he was living when I was born, but he probably died very shortly after that, so I was very, very young. But the stories that people told me, this was a man that was dedicated to his family. He traveled around as a migrant farm worker around Texas, Colorado, New Mexico, Oklahoma, wherever he could find work, just so he could support his family. My grandfather was the same way. I knew him very well. I was very proud to call him my grandfather. He was not called of our faith, but he was a very faithful man. I never forget every night we'd visit his house, visit my grandparents and my family there. Every night after everybody had gone to bed, he sat in his easy chair and had his lamp on and read his Bible. The man probably knew the Bible better than I do, and I know he did, because he read it every day. He studied the Word of God. Now, the only difference in him and the rest of us is he didn't just have that little light turned on in his brain that God uses. But I can guarantee you when that light's turned on, he's going to be able to stand up here and preach to the ends of the earth, because he knows his Bible. He knows the instruction book. But every one of my family and the examples that I have recollection of were hard workers. They were dedicated to their family and they took care of their family and they never wanted to do anything to bring shame on the name Dove. This was not always so. I have an old newspaper here. This is from Salisbury, North Carolina. Thursday, June 27th, 1850. The heading of one of the columns is Jacob Dove. Jacob was my great-great-great-great-grandfather. So what is that, six generations or something like that back? Now I'm going to try to read this. It's very small print, but I'll mostly just tell you the story. But it says, this unfortunate man, Jacob Dove, this unfortunate man convicted of a most cold-blooded murder and sentenced to death at last May term, was executed on Friday, the 21st, instant in the presence of a very large assembly composed of people from many of the surrounding counties. The offense for which he paid the penalty of his life was committed in Cabarrus County. I'm not sure. Anybody from North Carolina can correct me later. But Cabarrus County, more than 2 years ago, on the body of a man named George Linker. The story goes that Jacob Dove was married to a lady and she had two children by him. This was his wife. Very early after that, he left her, divorced her, and he began to hang out with a lady that we would call not so nice. She lived in a house in town and she had many men visitors. But Jacob fell in love with her. And he spent 20 years with her, bearing his children. Now, I don't know any of those parts of the family, but when we trace this back, we find this man to have actually, it's true that he is one of my great-great-great-great-grandfathers. He, at the end of that 20 years, George Linker had begun to see this woman, and he had proposed to her and asked her to marry him. Jacob became very jealous and he swore that he was going to kill George Linker. Now he says he never did it. Jacob, and that's typical of a dove, we never did anything wrong, right? But there is some, when I read this article, there's one thing that stands out in my mind to know that this definitely is one of my relatives. It says, on the whole, the prisoner was a remarkable man in at least one respect. In all of his trials, he went through two trials. He was found guilty both times. Each time he was pronounced guilty and the death sentence was pronounced on him, he sat there with a stone-cold face. I know that to be true because all the doves I know, my grandfather, great-grandfather, my dad, me, we are so stubborn that when we're backed into a corner and there's nothing else we can do, you're not going to get an expression of any emotion out of us. That's how I know this man's related to me. Now, this man had two children by his original wife. One of those was my great-great-great-grandfather. I think his name was Luke. Those two children stood there below the gallows and watched him hang. And they were beginning to think, now, how are we going to live the rest of our lives in this shame? They had to live the rest of their lives in shame. Everywhere they went, aren't you Jacob Dove's kid? Now, I'm glad for the fact that when somebody asks me if I'm Roy Dove's kid, that it's a pretty good reputation for the most part. I'm sure some of you know some dirt on him. But can you imagine being one of those kids? Oh, aren't you Jacob Dove's kid? We better keep an eye on you. So, this is to give you an example of a fleshly family, a physical family. It's not so good, is it? You see, no matter how many times I was told to live up to the family name, you go back in history and look and there's some dark spots in it, right? Well, you and I are expected to live up to another family name. Am I right? Let's turn to Romans 7. Romans 7, and we'll go to verse 18. This is going to actually be in the modern King James Version. You see, in the fleshly family, we cannot live up to our new family name on our own. I really appreciated the comments Mr. Petty had about Paul yesterday. We're going to stay in the book of Romans, in the last part of chapter 7 and chapter 8, because you'll come to know Paul pretty well here as well, and based on what we heard yesterday. He's one of my favorite writers. I don't understand him half the time, but he's a pretty good writer, because he talks about me. He's talking about himself, but let's face it, we're all kind of like that, right? Verse 18 of chapter 7 of Romans, it says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me." I want to do it right. I want to. "But how to perform that which is good, I do not find." I could search and search, and I just don't find it in myself. Verse 19, "For I do not do the good that I desire, but the evil which I do not will, that I do." Verse 20, "But if I do what is What I do not desire, this is why I don't understand him. I can't even read his writing sometimes. But if I do what I do not desire, it is no more I working it out, but sin dwelling in me. So you see, as physical beings that we are, we have sin in us. We can try as hard as we want to without God's help, and we will just not get along. I got to tell you a little story about my brothers and sisters and I. About 3 years ago, my parents celebrated their 50th anniversary. About 3 years before that, my brothers and sisters got together and we decided we were going to plan them a bash of all times. We all began contributing money to a fund to fund the anniversary party. We had a common goal. We wanted to throw them the party of the world, and we sent them on a cruise to Alaska. We had a band played for them from the Fort Worth Church. We had probably about 200 people showed up for their anniversary. My mom and dad cried the whole time. And you know, when you see my dad cry, you know you got to him. They tell us every day, and they brag to other people about the party. But you know what? Since that goal is gone, my brothers and sisters and I hardly speak to each other. We communicate through Facebook. None of them are in the church. They all left years ago. They've gone their own ways. But you see that humanness about us. We still have those times when we just can't get along. So in our physical state, we can find ourselves not answering to the law that we should be. Verse 23, skipping through some of that. It says, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law in my mind." There's two laws there. There's God's law and there's the law of sin. Oftentimes we answer to the wrong one, right? Even though we have that little piece of God's Spirit implanted in us, we sometimes don't allow that to work like it should. Sometimes we try to do it all on our own. And in verse 24, something that I say to myself all the time, "O wretched man that I am." In this physical state, and as long as I rely on the physical nature that I have in me, the sinful nature, I'm pretty wretched. "And who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. You see, with God's Spirit implanted in our minds and in our hearts, if we continually look to that and rely on that, you see, He's implanted that there to make us a part of His family. In the embryo state, but we're a part of His family. We still have choices. We always have the choice of doing the right thing or doing the wrong thing. And what do we often do? With God's seed, the Holy Spirit implanted in our minds, we can find ourselves as adopted children into the God family. And I think we need to remember that often. We need to remember that every day. Every day in our prayers, we need to thank God, just like He says here. Thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, that He puts His mind in us, that He stirs us up, that He directs us and He guides us. Let's turn to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 3, again, we're staying in the modern King James Version. But it says, "For what the law could not do, in that I was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." Christ came here and was sent here by God the Father. He was sent here to become our older brother. And as an example of how we can do this. And basically what He showed us was rely on Him and rely on the Father. Don't try to do it on our own. He condemned sin in the flesh. And in verse 4, "So that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." We must begin to walk according to that Spirit that God has implanted in us. We must listen to it. We must not rely on our own understanding. How many times have we been in a discussion about doctrine or something? And we want our understanding known. Most of the time we should probably just walk away and say, I need to go study that. I need to go pray about that. I need to go understand what God says. He is our Father. He is the one that wants us to be there. He's already chosen us. In verse 25, verse 6 of Romans 8. It says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know, I'm sitting on my back porch this morning, just, you know, looking at nature. Of course, we're in this town, but I told you about the squirrel. The birds were singing beautifully, except for that big crow. He was a little off tune, but I think if you listen to the entire symphony, he probably sounded pretty good mixed in with everybody. But to think about those things and to think about where that all came from, we can have peace in knowing that there's something greater than us that can take care of us. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. So we've got to get away from that carnal mind, that fleshly mind. We have got to become spiritual beings. We've got to be a part of God's spiritual family. He's invited us to be there. We have to accept that. Because when we fight that, we are at war constantly. To be carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then, they who are in the flesh cannot please God. It's a good thing that God has given us some of His Spirit. It's a good thing that we can be a part of His spiritual family. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Kind of hurts. Think about that. That's scary. We need to be stirring up God's Spirit. We need to be acting like His children, representing His name. Verse 10. And if Christ is in you, indeed the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. Now, keep in mind, none of us can do this on our own. I've said that several times. None of us can do this on our own. But I got to tell you, we got a pretty powerful daddy who can take care of all comers. He can fix anything. He can take care of things. I don't know what that effect is there, but we're not going to break out into armored Christian soldiers or anything like that. Turn to Romans, well, we're in Romans 8, but let's go to verse 29. Verse 29. As God's children, if our Father is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8, verse 29. Again, Bible in basic English. Because those of whom He had knowledge before they came into existence were marked out by Him to be made like His Son, so that He might be the first among a band of brothers. Think about that, a band of brothers. Christ was sent down here to be the first, to help us to join and be a part of His brotherhood, to be a part of His band. And it also says that He knew us before we existed. Now that's hard for us to imagine. Our puny little minds can't wrap our minds around, we can't wrap anything around that. He knew us before we existed, and He chose us to be marked out, separated from the rest of the world, to be different, to be a part of His kind. Verse 30. And those who were marked out by Him were named. And those who were named were given righteousness. And to those whom He gave righteousness, in the same way He gave glory. What may we say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not keep back the only Son, His only Son, the one who sacrificed His only Son, the Son that was willing to be sacrificed, but gave Him up for us all. For us all. And not just us, but the entire world. We're the first fruits. And He wants the entire world to be a part of His family eventually. Verse 32, He who did not keep back His only Son, but gave Him up for us all, will He not with Him freely give us all things? With Him fighting our battles for us, with us relying on Him, there is nothing that can't be done. We could have the greatest family in the world. We could have the most fun. How many of you have had family reunions where you just had fun? Because you're seeing people that you hadn't seen in years. I'm telling you, we can have fun just like that. Let's get together this afternoon and do that. Let's visit with one another as brothers and sisters, with our Father in heaven and our older brother sitting there beside Him and telling Him, look at our kids. Look at your kids, Dad. They're doing well. They were worth it. They were worth it. Romans 8, verse 18. This is where Paul gives us a little personal opinion. I tend to agree with it. Verse 18 of Romans 8, again, Bible in basic English. He says, I am of the opinion that there is no comparison between the pain of this present time and the glory which we will see in the future. Think about that. Whatever suffering we're going through, whatever trials we may face. Now, I've had a rough year this year, but I can tell you from talking to other folks, I had nothing. We go through trials and pain and suffering, but because we do that, because of the things that we do, we can't imagine what we'll see in the future. But because we do, we will be in that future. We will be there. We will be a part of God's family. Verse 19, for the strong desire of every living thing is waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. Do you realize that this entire earth, as it groans and it travails? I was sitting on the porch watching the animals this morning. You know what I heard in the background? The roar of I-35. The world is still going on out there. And those people don't know it, but they're waiting on you and they're waiting on me. They're waiting on the return of Jesus Christ. They're groaning and they're in travail. They don't know what to expect. They're getting to the point where they're just numb to it. They've been numb to it. Let's take that responsibility seriously. Verse 19, for the strong desire of every living thing is waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. For every living thing was put under the power of change, not by its desire, but by Him who made it so, in hope that all living things will be made free from the power of death and will have a part with the free children of God in glory. For we are conscious that all living things are weeping and sorrowing in pain together until now. And not only so, but we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we have sorrow in our minds, waiting for the time when we will take our place as the sons, that is, the salvation of our bodies. Wrap your minds around that. Think about that. Let that get in there and percolate a little bit. It just gives me goosebumps. Yes, we can have sorrows and travails too. But when we remember that, when we remember God is there, He is for us. He wants us there. You know what? He already sees us there. He doesn't see anything else. He doesn't want anything else to happen to us. Any of us that are parents know, though, that we have children. We teach them. We train them. We raise them in God's way. And then someday they make a choice. And what do we do? What do we want to do? I want to go punch him in the nose. But you know what? God, He doesn't do that to us. Our Father in heaven lets us live our lives. He gives us the choices. He tells us the way we need to go. He shows us what we need to do. He sent His Son to give us an example. And every time we turn away and go away for a little while, you'd think He'd just zap us. I mean, that's what I'd do. So you better not mess with me. No, I'm just kidding. This world is in great pain and it is waiting. It is desperately waiting for the return of God's firstborn. Remember, our older brother is a part of this family. The family that God has put us in. Given us a piece of His Spirit to prove that, to make that happen. The world is in great pain. And you know what? The world is waiting. The world is waiting on us and they don't know it. They're waiting on everybody that has received God's Spirit, and whether they're living or dead, living or dead today, they are a part of that family if they lived lives according to God's way and followed His leadership. You and I also have some sorrow in our minds. We're waiting too. We're still in this world. And as it was mentioned on the opening night, you seen any trouble lately in the world? It's sad. And I get depressed every time I turn on the news. Starting with the local news and all the murders. Things that happen in our society. Every day it seems like we hear of a new terrorist group. And oh, they were related to the other ones, but they had their own ideas. So even the terrorist groups can't get along. But they seem to all have a common mission, and that's kill us, kill the Americans. This world's pretty sad and pretty sorrowful. Let's look at verse 35 in Romans 8. With all of that travail and everything that's going on in the world, who will come between us and the love of Christ? Will trouble or pain or cruel acts or the need of food and clothing or danger or even the sword? Would the possibility of death scare us away from the family of God? We may have to face that. As it is said in the Holy Writings, because of you, we are put to death every day. We are like sheep, ready for destruction. But we are able to overcome all these things and more through His love. More through His love, because He wants us to be in His family. He loves us. And we need to remember that. For I am certain, again Paul throwing in, for I am certain that not death or life or angels or rulers or things present or things to come or powers or things on high or things under the earth or anything which is made will be able to come between us and the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can come between us. Maybe ourselves. Because we give in to all of those things. We become fearful of all those things. We worry too much about where our food's coming from. We worry too much about how we look and how we're dressed. The clothes we have, the cars we have. We worry about those things. That's the only thing. We, ourselves. But God says here, of all that list, nothing can come between us and Him and our older brother. Is there anything that can keep us from the family? Is there anything that can keep us from the family? I don't care how sore your trials become. I've been dancing around one verse in this chapter. Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. Can everyone here quote that? And we are conscious that all things are working together for good to those who have love for God and have been marked out by His purpose. And we read earlier verses 29 and forward, so I'm not going to go back there again. This is one of those scriptures that I always come to. You know, we've gone through the different trials we've been through in the church and as a family and things like that. The book of Romans is where I go. That's why I've spent some time here today. Romans 8:28 again. And we are conscious that all things are working together for good. Good for who? Well, us. If we love God. And we have been marked out for His purpose. And in other parts of it, it says, and keeping His commandments is how we show our love to Him. We know that. So again, I say, is there anything that can keep us from the family of God? God and our older brother, Jesus Christ, tell us that there is nothing that can come between us and Him. There is nothing. Let's believe that. So again, brethren, we are here, the Feast of Tabernacles in New Braunfels, Texas, to be reminded of these things. To be reminded that what is in store for us when we are finally born into the kingdom of God and to born in to be like He is and we see Him like He is, to be a part of His family, it's an awesome thing. We are here to get a foretaste of that. And no matter how bad your steak was cooked last night, remember that. The Father and our older brother Jesus Christ have from the beginning. Now, God created time, so when was that? Well, we can't obviously fathom that too well, but from the beginning of time, it's been their plan to have us in His family. You and I have quite a name to live up to. Just remember that our older brother showed us how to do it. So let's respect that and let's honor that. And let's practice living the way he did.